Hi there, Liz. I have reviewed your Module 3 draft of your course activities and of your learning activities, and I am going to give you feedback on that assignment in this audio podcast. Overall, you've done an excellent job in detailing the learning activities for your course. I can really see what you are thinking, and you have a great consistent structure for your modules. All the elements are there and represented well. I really love how you are titling things for the most part. So I'm going to go through module by module and give you some feedback on each component as I have reviewed it. So your first module, Let's Get Progressive, looks great. It looks like you have a really solid structure, and you're detailing the information for the students, giving them advanced organizers so that they understand what they're going to be doing in the module. You have the instructions that will be presented, and then you have your discussions and interactions, your assignments, your evaluation, and how the students will get feedback. I can't wait to see how you write the instructions. I can't wait to see the actual readings and the videos that you're going to use. And I'm curious about the accounts that they are going to create, which means that you're going to have them use some tools. And based on what I saw, maybe I missed something, but I'm not entirely sure what those accounts are going to be, and those would help me to understand better some of the activities that you're going to have the students do. So I'll be able to give you feedback on that later after you get this all into your course and I can see more. One small suggestion in your discussion area, and maybe in your assignments also. I don't know from what you have here what the titles of those documents are going to be, and so I just want to point that out to you, and to make sure that you think about that. You're going to have to title your discussions and you're going to have to title your assignments. And I want to make sure that you're not just going to call it discussion and you're not just going to call it like assignment one, that you're going to give them a meaningful contextual title that will give the students some advanced organizing information about the nature of that particular assignment. So I just want to make sure that you think that through as you begin to build those into your course shell. Now, a word about your actual discussions, and this is feedback that I'm giving you throughout the assignment. Sorry, that's my mail. Your discussions tend to be more either short answer or mini essay or longer essay type questions. So they are more like, a written assignment than they are a discussion. And so I just want you to think about that. And to rethink that, you certainly could take several of your discussion questions and turn them into written assignments. I would recommend against that, and instead I would say take the question and actually turn it into a discussion question. And to do that, well, I'll talk about that a little bit more. And then the other thing later, the other thing I want to mention was wherever you can, give the students the opportunity for some choice in how they present the assignment to you. So I notice that you are asking them for a lot of written assignment type responses. And I want you to give you permission, and I want you to give your students freedom to be creative and innovative in how they respond to a particular assignment. So, especially in the artifacts collection of stuff, and maybe even in this preliminary introduction, you know what I mean? Give them some choices and give them some options in how they respond, so that they're not just relegated to writing a paragraph or two or three or four pages, why not see and let the students express their creativity in how they demonstrate to you their learning and how they make their learning visible to you. Now, obviously, you want to give them some parameters, and there may be some students who are not going to feel comfortable just having it be open that way. So you could give them a choice, do the 4-page paper, or do the 2 or 3 paragraphs, or record a video, or create a podcast, or use Glogster to put together a collage, or some other tool to put together some sort of animation, or write a poem, or write a song. I mean, or you know, so something. Give them the freedom to explore their own interests while they are demonstrating to you their learning, and so it's a suggestion for you. I'd love to see your rubrics. I love that you're using rubrics. In this first module, you're asking them to write a paragraph or two about their, this is sort of like their introduction, I guess. And then you're also asking them to write a couple of paragraphs about what they already know about the Progressive Era and what they want to know, which I think is fabulous, asking the students to check their prior learning so that you know both what they already know and what they are interested in is a fabulous device for you to get information about the students and kind of pinpoint where they are and what they're interested in. But those aren't really discussions or interactions. So this is like the first example. You say that you want them to respond to their classmates, but how are they gonna, how, what are they gonna respond? How are they gonna respond? There's no actual question there. You're asking them to present information about themselves and then to tell you what they know about the Progressive Era and what they want to know. So there's no actual interaction or discussion that's authentic there unless you create a mechanism for them to interact over something. And in general, discussions should be open-ended, so there shouldn't be a specific response that you're looking for. They should, having something that's a little provocative or controversial is a good way to initiate a discussion. You start out with a statement of opinion that someone has that is likely to be held by most or several people, lots of people, something kind of known, and then you question it or ask them to question it, or ask them to to agree or disagree with it, and or to ask each other about their opinions or whatever it is that they assert. So anyway, I'm just suggesting that you really think through what you're calling a discussion and make sure that if you call it a discussion, it actually really is, that you have it set up so that they actually are going to be able to have an authentic discussion. Otherwise, it just feels inauthentic and like busy work. Like, you know, they're going to look through some, you know, some of the students' responses and try and figure out what the heck they're going to, you know, how they're going to respond just to get the grade, because you're asking them to respond to your class, to their classmates, and there's a rubric, right? So it needs to be an authentic interaction, and you need to think that through more. And as I said, this seems to be an issue for you throughout your discussion interactions. You don't have a handle yet on writing good discussion questions, so that's something that you will need to work on. Okay. Module one, you know, we'll move on to module two. Love your titles. Everything, you know, I love how you have it set up so that they know what they're going to be doing. Everything is nice and consistent. Again, we want to make sure that when you put this into your course shell that you're giving things good titles. The discussion here, again, is not a discussion. Who are the muckrakers? There's a right answer to that, and there's, you know, pretty much one answer to that. The question, what kinds of issues did they expose, I think is better. So maybe you want to collapse that into one, or just lead with what kinds of issues did the muckrakers expose, and then say, be sure to explain, you know, in your discussion post who they were and, you know, details about the time period or whatever else you want to make sure that they get in there. But remember, you know, ask them to teach you about it. Make them do the work. Don't lead them too much with the questions that you are posing, so that you're being transparent about the response that you want. You want to make that a little obscure. You want to have them interact with the concepts and with the topic. You don't want to make it so transparent that, you know, you ask the question, who are the muckrakers, and then they go and look it up and just tell you who the muckrakers are. That's not really having them engage in the topic of muckraking or muckrakers. You know, I don't really know anything about the Progressive Era, so it's hard for me to give you some advice. But, you know, you could say, like, what's one fascinating fact about muckrakers, and how do we see that that quality represented in politics today? How was that dealt with at that time, and is there a difference in how it's dealt with today, and what do you think about it? I don't know enough about the subject to go further than that. So I just want to point out how you can make improvements in those interactions. You really need to think about questions that are going to elicit actual authentic conversation and engagement in the topic and around the topic, not just looking stuff up and regurgitating it to you. I like the artifact activity. I think it's brilliant. What I would suggest, though, is that instead of having them write a one-page description, that, again, you use this opportunity for them to To get creative if they want. So you can leave that as an option, but then say, you know, you can also make a cartoon or make a video or a poem or write a rap song or make a glogster, like a online collage to document that artifact. So give them some choices and let them be creative and let them show you you know, what is relevant, important, skills they may have to them in how they demonstrate their learning to you. I'm assuming in terms of feedback that you are also going to you know, check whether or not they have completed the artifact, how are you going to check whether or not they've read the readings and seen the video? So you need to think about every single thing you have them do, you have to have some sort of an assessment. So I would suggest maybe think about having a self-assessment after the readings and the videos, just a short little quiz, self-test that automatically grades, no big deal, but that it will help the student to identify the areas of importance in the readings and the videos and have them do a quick little self-test on it. Then, you know, I also want to make sure that, you know, somehow or another you're checking that they created all of the accounts and you're checking that they've completed the first artifact activity. So you're going to have to give them I see you are giving them points on their portfolio thing. So it's just the readings and creating the accounts that are missing. So remember the formula. Every single thing that they do, you have to give them, there has to be some companion evaluation and feedback component to it. Okay, so let's go on to module 3. Again, you're consistent, it looks good, except for the discussion. Name 2 reforms that took place, explain, that's a written assignment essay, it's not a discussion. What's the 17th Amendment? That's not a discussion. What's a recall election? That's not a discussion. You need to really think through what could you lay on top of those. Like, clearly it seems important that they be able to do those 3 things. Tell you what the 17th Amendment is, understand what a recall election is, name 2 reforms, right? So instead of directly asking them those questions, you need to creatively construct a discussion question that will allow them in the process of answering the question to also demonstrate that they understand these concepts. So it's not easy. This is the work. This is the hard work of designing, you know, online interaction, coming up with the question that will elicit authentic interaction from the students, authentic discussion between the students, authentic engagement with that content is not easy. So it's important. I mean, this does not have to be really difficult, long questions that you ask. Think about and look at the questions that I have asked in our course. So, you know, you need to sort of think in your mind what, you know, think up a question that you think will elicit or that they will have to dive into all of these 3 areas of the 17th Amendment, the recall, and the 2 reforms, and think up a question, and it can be as complicated as you want, and then simplify. Simplify, simplify, simplify until it is a sentence long. And then it leaves it open. That will leave it open for students to come to the question with lots of different perspectives and to come with their understanding, to demonstrate their understanding of it, and to present it to you and to the others in the class to check, you know, what they think, and to offer, you know, conclusions and statements about you know, the issues. So you really need to work on those discussion questions. Again, you know, when you have them read stuff, you're going to need to evaluate that in some way. And maybe you're thinking that that will come out in the discussions, and that's another way that you can do it. But it'll need to be explicitly stated in your discussion assignment. And again, I'm not convinced that those are discussions anyway, so you'll need to work on that. I love those artifact assignments, but again, I think they would be better if you gave the students choice. All right, module 4 looks, again, beautiful in terms of consistency and logic. The lasting effects question is good. What factors sparked and who were key is not a discussion question. You know, again, I would collapse these two and maybe mention, you know, when you present that second question, say, you know, in parentheses, make sure you mention what factors sparked the women's suffrage in America and who were the key players, or, you know, select one key player to focus on or something, so that it's not an essay. It doesn't turn into an essay. Okay. So basically my feedback is the same there in terms of evaluation and feedback. In module, where are we, 5. So, you know, how did he change the federal government? You know, I think that there's nothing provocative about that necessarily in the way the question is phrased. There's nothing, you know, it seems to me that someone could answer that with 3, 4, 5 points, and you'd get the same from, you know, pretty much each student. I mean, you could say something like, what's your favorite change that Roosevelt initiated in the federal government? Or what is a change that Theodore Roosevelt initiated in the federal government that still exists today? Now, I'm just talking, I have no idea about this topic, so I'm just talking off the top of my head. But, you know, you need to think about how you get the students to really learn about Theodore Roosevelt and what changes he made to our government. And so you need to come up with a question that is going to get students to do that. So, you know, what's one surprising thing about Theodore Roosevelt and how it influenced some change that he made, and how that's still represented in our government today, let's say. And I have no idea what that is. I mean, I wish I knew, but, you know, maybe was he the guy who said that everyone has a chicken in every pot? I don't know, but maybe he had a pet chicken when he was a kid, and somehow or another, you know, that, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea, but you know what I mean? The same with that second question, how were the progressive presidents different? How are they similar? That's a compare and contrast question that is definitely a written assignment, not a discussion question. So you really need to think through, you know, what is it that you are trying to get them to know or to understand? Look at Bloom's taxonomy and think through and look at the higher order critical thinking skills and try and think about what it is that you're trying to get them to analyze or understand, and then frame a question that tries to get at that. So on your module 6, here they are going to somehow submit their artifact portfolio. I don't have a good sense of how you're going to do that. Like you're leaving it all the way until the end, as opposed to sort of having it aggregate up over time. I would make it, I'm not sure. I'll wait to see how you lay that out in your course. Instead of having them write the final paper, again, I would ask them to give them some latitude, give them some freedom to have some choice about how they represent their learning to you. I mean, it could be in a paper, but I would say let them also think about different ways of demonstrating their learning to you. I don't see here where you're going to collect feedback, and I don't see, so on an ongoing basis, like your happy hour socialize area, that should also contain like a suggestion box. It should contain an announcements area. It should contain, like you have here, the the bulletin board or the student lounge or whatever area. And then in this area, you'll also need to have a place where you're going to formally collect feedback from the students. And this is not just like, how did you like the course or what was your favorite part about the course? This is actually asking some specific questions. And if you look in the course manual, you'll see an example descriptive feedback form. And you can use that, or you can adapt it, or whatever. But you need to actually ask the students some direct questions about their experience in your course, so you can then use that to improve the course the next time you teach it. So overall, Liz, you have done a great job with your course activities. Your learning activities, and I am really looking forward to seeing how you improve them and refine them and design them into your course shell. So well done, you've done a great job.